Well, hey there, sweet teacher, and welcome to the Joyful in Primary podcast. Congratulations, you have found your people. Whether you are reveling in the joys of primary teaching, searching for your teacher joy, or looking for a way to get it back, this podcast is for you. My mission is to help you find joy in teaching, because a joyful teacher is a teacher who stays. And sweet teacher, we need you. I believe every teacher can find this joy inside, and I'm honored to help you achieve just that. During our time together, you'll find encouragement, classroom management tips, and teaching strategies all focused on improving your joy. Because the more joy you have, the greater your impact will be on your precious little learners. If that sounds like your kind of destination, let's get going on this journey together. I just hate talking about this. Okay, but it's necessary. Hey there, teacher. Even though this is a difficult topic to cover, it's real. It's ugly. But if you haven't read the title of this episode, I'll try to say it out loud. Today, I'm going to talk about something that my heart has labeled as a sin. But there are kids out there, students, that in certain times, in certain ways, have made me want to quit. Ugh. Okay, so that hurts to say out loud, but I'm guessing you have felt that way too. Or maybe you want to prevent those feelings, which is a great reason to be here too. And maybe you don't have that kid right now, but I'm willing to bet you have or will have one. So let's take this problem head on. Let's deal with this together. The Joyful Teacher Way, in a two-part series. Goal of today's episode is to reset and restructure your mindset about these kids. I want to compare it to this for you. Sometimes my iPhone stops working, right? It does weird things, and all it really needs, I sometimes forget, is to be turned off and restarted. All those apps need to be closed down so it can reboot all anew. This is you and I in that moment and situation with this kid who is draining your mental storage space and is keeping everything else from working properly. This kid has gained ground in your thoughts, and that's dangerous. They have control over you in ways that you don't want and wouldn't have allowed if you just recognized it. Today, we'll change that, and I want to begin with the basics. So, there's this one kid, or maybe multiple kids, Lord forbid, that makes you want to take action right now and leave all this behind. It is, was, or has been that bad at some point. We've all been there, so all guilt aside, it's okay. But why? It isn't because they are so incredibly awful. It isn't because you are so horrible at management and you can't control them. It isn't their parents' fault, your principal's fault, or anyone's fault, really. The biggest bulk of this problem can be solved in one space, one area of your life. That is your thoughts. I've coached teachers many times, and it's no news to me or to those who I've worked with that your thoughts are where all of your answers lie. Our thoughts are so powerful. I know that may seem silly and you've heard it a million times, but here is the bottom line of how that works. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Feelings are your emotions, that reaction in your body when you think something. Those feelings, in turn, produce your actions. We act based on how we feel. I feel hot, so I'm going to go into the air conditioner and cool down. I feel mad, so I'm going to scream and yell and throw something at someone. No, don't do that. Anyway, our feelings produce our actions. So in order to change your actions, you first must change your feelings. And the driver of those feelings, in order to change those, you have to begin in your thoughts. So here is an example. My thought is, this child is driving me insane. Oh my goodness, I just want to quit. That thought produces this feeling of overwhelm, of being out of control. It's an anxious feeling in your body. Maybe your heart races or you tighten up. And of course, because that feeling is so real and so true, based on that thought, you manage that kid in this state of frustration. You don't make good decisions. You make decisions based on the way that you feel. And you and I both know nothing good can come of that. Even if there is a great reason that you have thought this and felt this way, there's nothing productive coming from that thought. Imagine if instead your thought was this: I can help this kid have a better life and future. Now, I'm not saying you can fix the kid. I'm thinking back to two students in particular that I had years ago who were still having issues as young adults. But I do believe I had a positive impact on those kids that in some way did give them a better future. So anyway, if your thought instead is, I can help this kid have a better life and future, I can show this child love and respect, how does that feel? What feeling comes from that? For me, it's a feeling of purpose, of motivation. It's an opening rather than a closing. Do you feel that? So based on that thought and that feeling, what action could come of that? I'm guessing you would then go on to create some sort of plan to help. You see more possibility, more goodness. So of course you react that way. All thanks to that little thought change. You could use something like this as an anchor thought to hold you down in the storm. Times are tough when you have one of these kids. It feels horrible. It feels like you're surviving some major weather event in your classroom. We have to anchor ourselves down in our thoughts. What is it that will help you in that moment of dealing with that kid? What will help you produce those feelings and actions that you can be proud of, that represent your passion and purpose as an educator? Write it down. Anchor yourself in it. Repeat it every day before you see this kid and open up to the possibility that they do not have to have control over your thoughts. So I'm going to share a quick framework that may help you understand these students more. This was really a game changer for me when I created it to help other teachers. I teach it in my PD sessions and in Joyful Teacher Academy. This is just the gist of it, but I hope that it will help you. So I think of every child as a flower. I know, kind of corny, right? But I personally love sunflowers. And so it is a great relation for me to think of it that way. Flowers need various forms of energy and sunlight. I don't garden much because I can barely keep a houseplant alive. But I have learned enough to know that you have to look on the packaging to see where to plant a flower for it to have its maximum growth and potential. Our students are much in the same. But in this equation, you, my friend, are the sun. Teachers give their energy to their flowers to help them grow. Isn't that adorable? But anyway, I categorize my kids into three groups of flowers. I won't go into deep detail here, but these kids, those ones that make us want to quit, that take the very best of us and just crumple it up and throw it in the trash. And somehow they manage to take out everything we know and love about teaching and help us forget about it. But anyway, these students are those full sun-dwelling flowers. You have to plant them in a place of full sun exposure. I think of them as those kids that are on task and focused less than half the time. So if you think about your school day in terms of half, they are on task and focused less than half. They need lots of energy and focus from you. I know what you're thinking. This is my entire class. They would all be on this list. But that just isn't true if you really dig down and think about it. But to move on with the framework, When we think of it this way, that these flowers just need more sun, they just need more attention and exposure from us in order to grow, it's easier to process. It feels like we have to give our energy in every direction, but truly, that isn't the case. And when we think of these difficult, make me want to quit kids in this way, we are the ones in control. I know where my energy, my sunlight, my beaming rays of goodness, and patience, by the way, need to go. So think this thought with me. This kid needs more of my energy than others to be successful. See where I'm going with this? Change your thoughts, change your feelings, change your actions. One last reminder that serves me well in every relationship I have in my life. I can only change me. I cannot control anyone else, including this kid that has brought so much stress and anxiety into my classroom. But I can control that stress and anxiety that I feel. I can make changes in me, myself. And when I do that, I have energy and focus and purpose to encourage and inspire change in others. I know you've had one of these kids, or you will have them, but I hope these thoughts can help you in dealing with these kids. Here's a quick recap. When this happens, we must first take control of our thoughts. Our thoughts control our feelings and therefore how we react, our actions. Create an anchor thought. Write it down. Say it out loud. Pretend it's tattooed on that kid's forehead if you need. But keep things in perspective. Use my method and think of them as flowers and you as the sun. This small group of kids, or this one kid, is a full sun-dwelling flower. And their very being is just begging for energy, for love, for attention from you, their joyful, wonderful teacher. They need you. And finally, just remember, there's only one person that you can change. And that, my friend, is beautiful, wonderful, amazing you. That ends part one of this two-part series called The Kid That Makes You Want to Quit. Ugh, still feels weird saying that. I encourage you to show back up here next week for a short but sweet episode that will finish this off with some real strategies, some actions you can take to deal with this special kid. In the meantime, you can share some love and kindness and sun attention with me by leaving a 5-star review here on the podcast, or simply by emailing me and letting me know what you thought about today's content. It's time for me to go, but I love you. I hope you have an amazing week. And we're in this together, teacher. You got this? Until we meet again, go make a difference, my joyful teacher friend. Teacher, I just loved getting to share this time together. If it was valuable to you, consider signing up for notifications at teachertony.com/subscribe. Never miss a tip, strategy, or freebie. If there's a teacher you'd like to share some joy with, please invite them to join us. But I hope to see you back here soon. For now, I want you to picture how your teaching life can be more joyful after today's chat. Right now is the best time to go make it happen, my friend.